what to do about this assaulting life we live. One assault after another from the first we're born. What an assault that is, you know. Here we are, we're kicked back, totally happy. We don't have to worry about eating, drinking, seeing, hearing, thinking, emoting, nothing. We're just swimming in the womb, you know. We don't know any, we don't know a womb, or we don't know ourselves. We don't know being hooked up to a mother. We don't know anything. And then all of a sudden, what happens? Everything around us starts to shake like the biggest earthquake you could ever imagine. And we're forced out into this. So there it all begins. And what's our response to this? We scream our heads off. So this is what we're up for from the very beginning. You know, and when we get real and we see what's going on, then it's easier to deal with these things. You know, we have to look at it in a humorous way. Otherwise, it's maudlin grim, and it only gets worse as we grow older. You know, it doesn't get any better. All the petty and major grievances we have, no matter what they are, as we get older, they get worse. So they don't, for most of us, mellow out. They get more and more exacerbated. And also, we have many more added to them. So not only do we have our petty and major grievances that we've been carrying along thus far, but we have a whole list of new ones, our diminishing mental capacities, our friends dying, our diminishing physical capacities, all of these things. So this is what we can count on about life. It will be filled with all kinds of emotional and physical ups and downs. And this is so from the very beginning of our life. Now, when we're born, we don't know anything about being anybody. So we don't have any idea whatsoever that we're somebody. And we don't have any idea that anyone else who is around is a somebody else. So we don't have any of these ideas. The reason we can't remember anything that happened then is because we didn't have any ideas. So we don't really have anything to remember. So when we say all these things about going back to the early times and the little emotional experiences that went on, pre-verbal things and that kind of thing, well, we can maybe somehow get a sense of what happened, but, you know, what do we really want to get a sense of? We really want to get a sense of who we are. When we look into all these things about our grievances, whether they're petty or major, and whether we look into our emotional makeup or our thinking or our physical well-being or whatever it is, what it boils down to is we want to feel good. That's what we want to do. We want to feel good. So even though we may feel like we want to be heard or we want to rectify wrong or whatever it is, or we want to feel healthy, or it all boils down to wanting to feel good. We don't want to feel crummy, and we want to feel good. And even people who appear very angry and very self-righteous, the news is full of them, and we see them every day in all walks of life. Even all of these people, too, they want to feel good. So everyone is just like us. They're no different. They want to feel good, and this is true for all human beings from the very beginning of life. We want to feel good, and we don't want to feel crummy. So in this way, we can say we're all alike. We're all human beings together, and one thing that unites all of us as human beings is we want to feel good. We want to feel good within our own being. And so then how to do that? How to do that? Well, most of us, we search throughout our entire life for how to do that. And from the beginning, when we first learn from other people that we are somebody, a lot of what we learn is to manipulate our thoughts and to manipulate our emotions in order to feel good. So it starts when we're very young. Someone says, oh, you're angry. You shouldn't be angry. And so we say, aha, anger, it's not something to indulge. So we learn that with this anger, we're not supposed to indulge it. And what do we learn? Well, our parents usually teach us either to avoid the anger or to replace it with something else. So no matter what happens, to avoid the anger or to replace it with something else. And for a little kid, that's usually to replace it with good behavior. So don't be angry and be nice to so-and-so. And so then you're supposed to just stop being angry and say, oh, I'm sorry I hurt you, or I'm sorry I hit you, or whatever it might be. But all of these really, they still don't get down to the basis of how to feel good. They really don't. These are just antidotes. They're like putting a Band-Aid on a wound. And so we might have a little bit of understanding and a practical way about how to live life, but nevertheless, these are antidotes, and they're like a Band-Aid. What happens with a Band-Aid? A Band-Aid falls off. You know, it'll never stay on. So these strategies never make us permanently happy, and they never will make us permanently happy. No matter how much headway we might make with any kind of our emotional or thought management programs that we institute, no matter how excellent and superior we might feel these thought management and emotion management and experience management programs are, we still don't feel good all the time, and that's what we want. So for many of us, we spend our whole life without ever finding that. And we do not find a way to be permanently happy, and we spend our life more like a machine where we're constantly sorting our thoughts and trying to have good thoughts to replace the bad thoughts, or more good thoughts, a big allotment of good thoughts and less negative thoughts, or good emotional states and no negative emotional states, or fewer negative emotional states. But none of this ever leads anywhere. That's the point. We can never feel permanently happy with any of those strategies. Every day when we get up like we're facing a foe. And what is the foe we're facing? Our thoughts and emotions. Every single day we get up in the morning, and within our very own precious being, we're in this situation where we're treating our internal life like it's an enemy that's out to get us. That we have these thoughts and emotions that can turn on us at any moment like some kind of crazed demon and do something to us. And this is all very sad, and it's overpowering, really. This is a belief system. That's what it is. It's a belief system, but you know, there's only straight talk here. I've been where you are, and I've been where you are, and all of you are. And I'm there right now, too. So, you know, no matter what's going on, all of these strategies that are the conventional popular culture strategies for dealing with a human being, they do not work. They do not lead to permanent happiness. Most of us don't even know that permanent happiness is possible. How many people here know that permanent happiness is possible? And, oh, rhetorical question. So you see, once we hear that permanent happiness is possible, then that is really something. Now, you just came back from Bali, so you saw a whole different culture there. You saw people, many people, very poor, with just, you know, basically nothing. And if people who were in that situation lived in this country, there would be a lot of upset in that person, a lot of grief, and a lot of feeling like something was wrong with them, you know, like they didn't succeed, or or a lot of ostracism or pressure from the rest of society about being of a certain class that doesn't really measure up. So, you know, these are really pathetic and heartbreaking situations in humankind. But what do you see in other cultures, like in Bali or in other parts of Asia or the South Pacific? You see people who are incredibly poor, much poorer than most of the people here, and they're filled with light. You know, they have a basic settledness about their nature. And what does that basic settledness come from? It comes from having some idea of who they are. So from the time they're born, the emphasis is on who they really are rather than on being, on making themselves into somebody who has certain kinds of good thoughts and good emotions and good experiences and thus a good identity. So you see, when we first hear that happiness is possible and that permanent happiness is possible, that's a very fortunate situation. It's a very fortunate situation, and it's even more fortunate if the people telling us that can really show us that for ourselves, you know, so that in our own being we can really come to realize that. Now, the only way that a human being has ever had to achieve permanent happiness is to rely totally on what they already are, and some of us don't even know that. You know, we don't know that the natural state of our mind is completely pure and at peace. It already is at peace. We're born that way. All of our life, our mind is totally at peace. And when we die, our mind is at peace. Our mind is a mind of perfect purity. That's what our mind is. And if we've learned all this other nonsense about all the thoughts and emotions being enemies, then we don't know that they're allies. We never know that. So we look at ourselves like we're some kind of defective character that needs to be fixed. We learn this when we're young, then we spend our whole life, and no matter what comes up, we're looking at ourselves this way, that we are defective in some way and we need to be fixed, that our thinking is defective, it needs to be made better, our emotions are defective and they need to be made better, and our experiences, they need to be made better too. And when we feel this way about ourselves, you see, we can't possibly trust anyone else. Because when we feel this way about ourselves, it automatically applies to everyone else too. If we think our thoughts and emotions are our enemy and there's something we have to manage all the time, every single person we look at through that filter. That, oh yeah, I know I'm this way, and that means you're this way too. I gotta watch out for you in the same way I gotta watch out for myself. This is so true, and we're laughing because we know it's true. It's just because maybe we've never heard it talked about so boldly before, it doesn't make it any less true. But it's absolutely true. So, you know, now what to do? Now that we know we have this mind of complete and perfect purity, then what are all these thoughts and emotions? Well, the what appears within the mind is just the dynamic energy of the mind. It's just the dynamic energy of the mind. It doesn't have anything to do with the labels applied to the dynamic energy. Do you see what I'm saying? So the mind starts stirring up, and like when we're babies, we don't have any words to describe all that, so we might cry or whatever our spontaneous response is, but we don't have a story that goes along with everything. So what do we develop as we grow older? We develop stories, you know, the stories about our thoughts and emotions, and And we feel so powerless and helpless to really do anything about these thoughts and emotions. It becomes obvious very quickly that there's almost nothing we can do. They're unpredictable. They can't be determined. We say, oh yeah, tomorrow I'm going to be a good person. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to blow my cork. And then the next day comes and, well, we just can't keep the thoughts in place that we want in place. And we can't keep the emotions in place either. They're just wild, spontaneous, and out of control. And so then, you know, what do we do usually? Well, we feel so helpless and powerless that we don't know what to do, so we blame other people for them. We feel helpless and powerless, and it just feels so upsetting to have all this going on within the body and not be able to do anything about it. So we start to look for a way to make sense of it through blaming. We blame other people. And this goes from people who are very close to us, our own intimate relationships, our family members, our biological family, and then pretty soon it's, that neighbor down the street who doesn't do it our way. And then it's that governor who doesn't do it our way, and that president who doesn't do it our way, and these corporations that don't do it our way, and these other countries that don't do it our way. Well, now we can very easily see how the world's gotten into the situation it's in, right? It all starts with you and me. That's where it starts. It starts with you and me, and whatever's going on within you and me, that's exactly what we see everywhere. And so when human beings take responsibility for recognizing their mind that is completely pure and perfect and is the basis of all this dynamic energy, then we as human beings, we find peace and we find complete permanent happiness within ourselves. And what does that mean? It means no matter what appears in the mind, there's nothing to be said about it. There's nothing to be done about it. It vanishes of its own accord, like a line drawn in water or a flight path of a bird in the sky. It's completely its own undoing. There's nothing that needs to be done about it. But when we're living a thought and emotion-based life, all we see are our thoughts and emotions. We think that that's what our identity is comprised of. We don't even know that the mind has a basis, that the awareness that is the basis of the mind, the awareness by which we know that the mind is, the awareness by which we know we are, that this awareness, it's always constant, it's always perfect, it's never ruffled. We never learn about that. So you see, once we learn about that, then we can just rest as that awareness, just enjoy that awareness. What does that mean? It means that when a thought or emotion comes up, rather than going off into the story about it, we just rest as awareness, with nothing needing to be done about what appears. And in this way, we find peace within ourselves. We rest as awareness for short moments, repeated many times, until it becomes continuous, until it becomes automatic. So we don't try to keep a long moment of rest in place. From the beginning, we rely on short moments, repeated many times. Now, we have to have confidence in this in order to be able to do that. We can't just say, I'm not really committed. So I'll just rest when I feel like it. Well, you know, that might help a little bit, but if you want to be permanently happy, it won't help at all. It needs to be a 100% commitment to short moments many times. That means, you know, somebody steals your beach chair, you rest as awareness, and it's more important to you to get familiar with awareness than to go off into the story about what's going on. you're willing to not go into that story, just to find out more about your own peace of mind and well-being.
Take no action, rest in awareness.
Rest is awareness, exactly. And until you find the peace within yourself and the wisdom that will lead you to right action, no matter what it is. And that's what you talk about, the action that comes from grace, that is just the action that is naturally settled, and not only naturally settled, but potent, fiercely potent. So it doesn't mean you become a doormat. It isn't like anything like that. It's nothing like that at all, believe me. It's like, whoosh! The greatest force of the natural order of everything. It's just, it's so unlike being a doormat. And what I'm saying is it isn't a passive state. When we rest as awareness, we're resting as the essence of everything, as the dynamic force of everything, as the essential vigor, the dynamic vigor, the creative vigor of everything. We're resting as the mind of perfect purity that is the actuating potency of everything. So that's what we're resting as. We're not resting as some kind of wimpy, over-spiritualized, checked-out state, or some kind of weird holier-than-thou attitude whereby we set ourselves off from everyone else as being some kind of greater, holier-than-thou being who has it over everyone else. That's not what resting as awareness is. That's just another trip. It's just another story. It's really just another story, please believe me. It's another story. When all stories have ended, there's no need for any of that nonsense. So, you know, it has to be imperative. It has to become imperative to you that within your own being, you become completely committed to your own well-being, and that you're willing to just simply rest as awareness and let all these conventional modalities of doing everything do whatever they will. Who cares what other people do? What's important to you is resting as awareness, getting familiar with awareness for short moments, repeated many times. You know, if somebody wants your chair, you know, if somebody came up to me here, I'm sitting in my chair, right? No one in this room would disagree that this is my chair. The camera's pointed at me. The microphone's pointed at me. This is Candace's chair. If somebody came and sat in this chair, I'd go sit somewhere else. Or, you know, if somebody said, that's my chair, they walked in there, I said, okay, sit there. You know, because I don't care. Because when you rest as awareness, you have wisdom. And what does that mean? It means you know which mountains to climb. You don't try to climb every mountain. If you try to climb every mountain, you're a puddle. You're a big mess on the ground. You can't do anything if you try to climb every mountain. So most of these mountains, they don't mean squat. You know, they really mean nothing. They mean absolutely nothing. They're not worth climbing. The people of the world will just do what they will. But if you're committed to resting as awareness, what you'll open up for yourself is a very powerful, pristine source of wisdom within you that is completely equanimous. That means it's completely balanced. It has complete equanimity. You have a completely balanced view about yourself and everyone else. And from that, you can take the most powerful action. And from that, you know which mountains to climb. Not only do you know which mountains to climb, you know exactly how to climb them. And maybe no one else on earth can see how to climb them, but you can. And because what happens when you rest as awareness, you let go of all these conventional frames of reference about your thinking and the way it's supposed to be, and your emotions and the way it's supposed to be, and how you're supposed to be. Most of us learn that oh, you know, life is filled with ups and downs. That's what most of us learn. Sometimes we'll be happy, other times we won't. This is what most of us learn. But this is just a conventional outlook. It isn't the truth. The truth of who we are is that our inner being is always equanimous. It's always perfectly equanimous. It never changes. No matter what happens, it never changes. So, you know, once we get introduced to this awareness, it's up to us to rest as that, no matter what comes up, and give up all of our other strategies for dealing with everything. If we hear about this, we're really lucky, because not everybody hears about it. But I do know this, that there are increasing numbers of people all over the world who are resting with a vengeance, so to speak, because they've had it with all the conventional speak about the way they're supposed to be. So this isn't new wisdom. Wisdom has been around forever, you know, within humankind. There's nothing new about this. It's the primordial wisdom awareness at the basis of everything. It's just that now the teachings that are direct and unerring on how to rest as awareness, they're out, you know, and they're spreading all over the world. Now, there may not be that much interest in this country, but other countries of the world, people are much more interested than they are here. And, you know, some of us just got back from India, and we have so many people who come there, and they come from all over the world, from every continent, and then they go back home, you know, and they teach their friends. So, to rest as awareness. And that's what the Great Freedom Teaching is about. It offers 24/7 support worldwide. Now, when you first heard about that, Keith, you had no idea what that meant, I remember. You said, what does that mean? Keith, we met him in India, even though he's from Oregon. And so now you know what that means, don't you? Because we really do have 24/7 support worldwide. So now Keith was wondering, oh, I'm going back to Oregon. What do I do then? You know, I'm not going to be with all these people. We're having so much fun here in India. But did anything change when you went back to Oregon? No. Not really. So you see, we can rest anywhere, even in this country. We can rest. We don't have to be in special countries to rest. We can even rest in this country. The country that has everything, all the material things, but no rest. And so even in this country that has all the material things, but very little wisdom or knowledge about what we are as human beings, even in this country, we can rest and we can teach other people how to rest. And you know what? Everyone, no matter who they are, has a totally happy, perfectly pure mind. It doesn't matter what their backgrounds are, what they've done before. You know, maybe yesterday they just did something really awful, or maybe they're in prison because they've done so many awful things. Or maybe they're in prison because they didn't do anything, but they got a bum rap. Either way, if they're in prison, you know, that's another opportunity to rest. It doesn't matter what your resume is, so to speak. Whatever your resume is, your birthright is awareness, and it is equally awareness. So nobody can say, oh, because you did these bad things, your mind isn't a mind of perfect purity. Your mind's a perfect purity whether you've done bad things or good things. So what does that say about all of these endless attempts to try to do only good things? It means it doesn't matter. You know, and the endless attempts to do good things as a strategy, it just ends up, for most of us, making us feel like we'll never measure up because we can never do enough good things. But when we just rest as awareness, we see that all of these appearances of the mind, all of these appearances within awareness, they just are whatever they are. But in that basis of awareness that's totally clear, lucid, and brilliant, we find wisdom. We find wisdom that's beyond all the stories of the thoughts and emotions, no matter what they are. and we find happiness, we find love, and we find peace, and we find tremendous energy. So, you know, it's up to us. It's up to you, and it's up to me. And it's up to me, and it's up to you. Together, there isn't anything we can't do. You know, that's our theme song in Great Freedom. And, every day in India, we would have a song fest as part of our meetings. And then, you know, we had lots of people there coming to, you know, filling a big hall. And now we're going to be in Sweden for the entire month of July. And there we'll have 1,000 people. So, you know, we'll have our theme song there, too. It's up to you and it's up to me without... Together there isn't anything we can't be. So, you know, this is the truth. But it has to happen from the grassroots. And where are the grassroots? Well, they're right here. You know, they're right here in this room, or they're in San Quentin Prison, or they're in India or Bali or England or wherever they are. That's where the grassroots are. The grassroots of equality. The equal, even, equanimous nature of awareness that unites all of us together. This is the only hope we have. It really is the only hope we have. And how do we address that within ourselves? We have to rest as awareness no matter what comes up. The anger, the health issues, hearing that somebody died or whatever it might be, hearing that we might die, whatever it is, that's our stuff. You know, that's our ground of rest. Each one of those appearances, it is a wisdom appearance. It's a wisdom appearance. But if we take it to be a foe, then we say, well, it's my enemy. It's not wisdom. But if we see it as our ally, an opportunity to rest rather than do the same old thing I've always done, then we start to get happy. And we start to get happy fast. Not any of these long-term things where we have to keep showing up and sitting in a chair ad nauseum forever, hoping someday we'll get happy. But happiness that every day there's more and more happiness every single day. And see, this is within us, so we can really count on it. We don't have to rely on any kind of power outside ourselves, somebody watching over us with a big stick or anything else. Who wants to do that? You see, the power of our mind is always completely free from the moment we're born, from the moment we're conceived. That mind is completely pure and continuous. It doesn't have anything to do with having a human body or not. The human body doesn't generate awareness. It doesn't generate the mind of perfect purity. The mind of perfect purity simply is. It's resting as awareness is dignified effortlessness in relation to everything. Now, isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you'd rather have than?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So you see, this is what you really want. You want people to listen to you, but you really want to be able to listen to yourself. You know, you really want to say, I know this is what you're saying. You're saying, I know there's a way out of this conundrum. I know there's a way out, and I'm going to find it, and that's why you ended up here today. So what it requires, it really, too, is that you just rest. You stop making other people wrong, and you stop making yourself wrong at every turn. Instead, you just rest as awareness. You don't go off on that story. And the more you rest as awareness, the more you provide yourself with tremendous self-benefit. Tremendous self-benefit. So this is a benefit whereby you see what you put yourself through for your entire life by trying to make sense out of your thoughts and emotions that will never be made sense of. So you might as well stop trying to make sense of them now, because they're not going to make any sense. You're going to be 80 and you're going to still trying to be making sense of them, and it'll never happen. But if you rest as awareness, then when you're 80, it'll be okay no matter what's going on. If you don't rest as awareness, then you're going to be sitting in the dining hall of a senior facility complaining about your arthritis and what, and I'll look at that one's blue hair over there. And so, you know, nothing'll change. It'll just be the same old thing, but now you'll be 80 doing this, whatever it is. And so it's not a pretty picture when you look out into the future. But if you start resting as awareness now, you're all healthy and strong enough today to be able to sit up in these chairs. So this is the time to seize the opportunity to rest as awareness, because it does not get easier. It really does not get easier. The more you age, the more the demands of your physical body and your emotions and your thinking, it takes a lot of energy to age, and so then you're all wrapped up in aging, and then it's harder to rest as awareness. So this is the time right now, no matter what you're doing. And, you know, some people are in situations where they might find it very difficult to rest, like facing big emotional problems or big physical problems, health problems. And, you know, 25 years I've faced all these things, no matter what they are. I've nearly died 3 times, so these haven't been lightweight life events. And all kinds of things have come up. My father died, my beloved sister, 10 months younger than I am, died. And, you know, so I've had all kinds of things come up, and I've seen all kinds of changes in the world. But all of these things that occur, the only solution is to rest as brilliant awareness. Rest as brilliant awareness until you don't need to try to do so. Now, I don't need to try to do so. You see, this is my nature, and I don't need to try to rest. And there are many other people in this room, too, who don't need to try to rest anymore either, and many people all over the world. They've discovered that the nature of their mind is completely at ease. It's completely at rest. This is just the way it is. And it doesn't matter what situation you're in, you know, it's not anything that anyone can ever give to you or take away from you. It's impossible that be the case. So even if your circumstances changed radically, say you were, the country was invaded by another country and you were rounded up and put in a detention camp. Well, this is already happening. It just happened over the hill here, you know, rounding up all of these Hispanic people and putting them in God knows where detention camps. So you see, this is happening. It could happen to us too. It could happen by the hands of another government. It could happen by our own government. We never know what's going to happen. We could go to the doctor and the doctor could say, oh, I thought you were fine, but I did this test and you're not fine, you know, you're dying. Well, you know, these things happen all the time, and many of these things will happen to us. So it's important to strengthen yourself in resting as awareness right now. No matter how out of control your mind has been, no matter what kind of actions you've taken based on your out of control mind, the only solution is to rest. That's absolutely the only solution. And so no matter where you are, you know, if you're in prison or you're free outside of prison, as long as you are feeling that your thoughts and emotions are your enemy, you're in prison. No matter where you are, you're totally in prison. Whether you're behind the bars at San Quentin or you're running around out here, if you are trying to manage your thoughts and emotions, here in prison. Doesn't matter what your lifestyle looks like. And no matter where you are, whether you're in San Quentin prison or running around out here, you have an equal opportunity to rest as awareness. It's the only way that you're going to be able to live your life in a peaceable way. Otherwise, you'll feel torn apart at every turn. You know, you'll be trying to find some kind of strategy to make it work for you, no matter what situation you're in, the prison of the outside or the inside. There'll be things that you'll want to change. There'll be people you don't like, and there'll be people you do like, and you'll want to get the people you do like around you and get the people you don't like away from you. And so this, you see, it's all the same. So this is a prison, whether you're in a literal prison or not. To live this way with yourself means that your body has become a prison. Your own body has been made into a prison. And who made your body into a prison? You did. So you see, no one else ever makes your body into a prison. And it's up to each of us to not become a victim of our own points of view, to not become a victim of our own thoughts and emotions. When we treat our thoughts and emotions like they're enemies, or some kind of a power force whereby we're going to get one over on everybody else, then, you know, we're living at war with ourselves. Within our own being, we're living in prison. And it's not a nice place to be. We could all agree with that. So, you know, the only way out of this is to rest as awareness. When you rest as awareness, then no matter where you are, whether you're in a literal prison or not, you're completely at ease. You're able to be completely at ease. You're able to have a life that it can even be way, way better in prison than it was outside. So you're in a literal prison. All of a sudden you're saying, wow, I'm in prison, but I never felt so free. And you see a whole new way maybe about how you can get out of the situation you're in. You can't get out of the prison of the warring thoughts and emotions by doing anything other than resting as awareness. That's it. That's the only possible way. And it's the only method. It's absolutely the only method. No other methods are needed. If you employ just this method alone, it will bear more fruit than any other single thing you can ever do in your life. So don't try to have a whole lot of methods that you use. If you use this single method alone, it will be your stalwart companion, your best friend, and it will serve you right through to the end. When you die, you know, when you die, you want to have something you can count on about yourself, whether you're dying through lethal injection or some other method, you want something you can really count on, because you're not going to be able to, you know, everybody you're going to have to say goodbye to at some point. You're going to have the thought, wow, I'm going somewhere and nobody's going with me. All of these people I have around me who are here to support me, or I just ate my last meal, or I had my last drink of water. These are the kinds of thoughts and emotions you have then. You know, so then when you're in that state, you want to know that you found this place within yourself that's completely at rest. Because believe me, all these other petty and major grievances, they're going to look paltry compared to the final moment. So when we reach this final moment, we want to have total steadiness. We want our equanimous nature to be glowing brightly. We want to be able to just rest as that when we let go of the point of view of the body. So you see, how do we prepare for that? We prepare for it by resting as awareness with all these things that come up. Now, no matter what comes up, no matter what it is, that is our circumstantial wisdom appearance for resting as awareness. So no matter what appears, that's our perfect opportunity. For resting is awareness. If we're sick, then that's what it is. If we just heard from the doctor that we're going to die, then that's what it is. If we don't know which medical action to take, then that's what it is. All these are the wisdom appearances, opportunity to rest. But if we don't want to hear about it and we want to just go on with our painful stories, then that's what we choose. It's up to us. In that moment, we've chosen to be a victim of our painful stories. So that's just the way that is, too. It's up to us. It's completely up to us. And, you know, we can try to support other people to rest, but if they don't want to rest, then there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing at all we can do about it. Don't waste your time. Do not waste your time. Wait for the people who want to rest and spend your time with them, sharing with them how to rest. This is the way to go about it. If you spend a lot of time talking to people who don't want to rest and never will want to rest, then there are all these people who do want to rest that you're not able to talk to because you're squandering your time and effort talking to... Now, this is a sickness. This isn't help. It perpetuates a sickness in yourself. Sometimes this is called codependency. And it... if you surround yourself with people who are resting as awareness in one way or another, it's going to make it easier for you to rest as awareness. If you're trying to rest as awareness and you're surrounded by people who don't want to rest as awareness, you can still do that. Absolutely, you can do it. Easily, you can do it. But if you have an opportunity to be around other people who are resting as awareness, that's really sweet and that's really good. Doesn't matter whether people around you are resting as awareness or not. It's up to you. People could be doing all kinds of things, but, you know, when they're doing their all kinds of things, then it's up to you to say, well, you know, that's what they're doing, but that's not what I'm doing. I'm resting as awareness. And so, you know, what convinces us to rest as awareness? We see other people who are doing that, and we go, wow, you know, I never knew this could be the case, but it is, and I'm going for it. Doesn't matter what everybody else in town is doing, or my city, or my country, or whatever it is. I'm resting as awareness. So in this way, the Great Freedom Movement is sweeping all over the world. Because no one can keep anyone from resting as awareness. And it's for people who want it, not for people who need it. Heaven knows everybody needs it, but how many want it? Well, the ones who want it, these are the people you want to talk to. And then you see, the most convincing statement you can ever make to anyone is for them to notice a change in you. And when they notice a change in you, then they want what you have. And they say, oh, you know, what happened? You used to be a maniac. Now I'm kind of feeling like I may be able to like you. And so... It's amazing, you know. Or you might see your ex-partner and they... might say, oh, why weren't you like this when we were together? So, you know, there's no mystery in this. It's not an esoteric matter, and it doesn't require any unusual ways of being. It doesn't require any special circumstances. Just this single method to rest for short moments, repeated many times. Initially, there may be just a few moments a day when that's possible. But just with that few moments a day, each day, there'll be more moments that accumulate. And you know where that leads. It's just like, how many here have ever saved money? You ever saved money? You've never saved any money?
No, I raised money.
You've never saved any money?
No, a little bit.
Well, you saved a little bit, okay, so you know that. All
right. And I wish I had it right now.
And you wish you had it right now, the money. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, yeah, I like to give money away. That's what I like to do with money.
Well, that's what I'd do with it if I had it.
Well, you know, everything is a field of tremendous abundance. And so the thing about, you know, when you save money, then you have more money, right? You save money and then you get more and more money. The same with resting as awareness. Now, in this country, everyone can understand saving money because there's a lot of emphasis on that. In other countries, people are just worried about whether they're going to have some dal and rice to eat. They're not worried about saving money. So, but you see, through this illustration of saving money, we see that with saving little bits for short moments repeated many times, we get more money. And the same is true with awareness. When we invest our energy and time and resting as awareness with short moments repeated many times, it becomes automatic and it becomes continuous. And so what do we have to do? Just rest as awareness and never give up. Never give up resting as awareness. What could be easier than that? Then, you know, it's just like you come back from Bali, you've been introduced to a new culture, the people are so nice, you've never felt so open and free and spiritual, and oh dear, how long will this last? Is it going to go away? But then you end up somewhere where someone says, well, no, this is who you are, it'll never go away, it can't go anywhere. But it's up to you to rest as that. So see, now that you know what that is, then you just rest as that rather than flipping out over the meaningless. And, you know, these other people who are doing whatever they do, well, that's just what they do. That's just what they do. But if you really don't like some of the horribly unjust things that go on in the world, then taking action against those things from anger and rage, it just never leads anywhere. You just are angry and upset, and other people are angry and upset. So why not just take some time out from that and find out about the wisdom power at the basis of everything, the wisdom power that's equal to the happiness of your own being. And then from that wisdom power, you can take action. That's the guide and protector. That's the perfect physician. Gosh, if you have something wrong with you these days, especially in this country, oh, wow, you know, you can sign up for all kinds of lifetime plans. Acupuncture, homeopathy, allopathic medicine, you know, on and on and on and on and on, all these treatments, and have your mammogram, have your colonoscopy, have your heart scan, have your blood pressure checked, and this could become a lifestyle choice. Well, so you see what to do. It's, again, it's important to rest as awareness. Then from wisdom, you know what to do about your own body. You don't need to be led here and there by the nose by people who are just have a tunnel vision that looks in one direction. If you're really interested in your own well-being, the place to come to a decision about that is just to rest as awareness and then get information from a lot of people and then rest as awareness some more until you know what action you want to take. But one of the things I notice in other countries is that these things aren't available. You know, they're just not available. You can barely get a pill to take, let alone your blood pressure taken or a mammogram. You know, these things aren't available. So what happens then? People just live out a normal life and then all of a sudden they die. And while they're living out their life and dying, they're surrounded by loving community, even though they may live in a little grass shack with no light bulbs or no water, no waste management. And then they die, and they put him on a little funeral pyre and light it up, and it drifts down the river, and they're burning, you know. That's their cremation, or they're put on a hillside for the buzzards to eat, or whatever it might be. This is how most of the world lives. Most of the world doesn't live with all of these choices. So you see, when we have all of these choices, it's even more important that we rest as awareness, because we're inundated. We have many, many, many different directions we can go. The best direction always comes from wisdom. Because believe me, there are, not only do you have all your points of view, so we'll just call all these things that appear within awareness, we'll just call them all points of view to simplify it. Whether they're thoughts, emotions, experiences, people, places, and things, they're all points of view. You have your points of view, everybody else has their points of view. When you rest as awareness, then you get comfortable with your own points of view. And then you find the happiness at the basis of everything, the wisdom at the basis of everything, the love at the basis of everything, the tremendous energy at the basis of everything. And then you have a much clearer understanding about what to do in terms of everyone. Now, a lot of times other people don't want to hear about it. That's just the way it is. They have the right to live their life however they want to. It's not up to you to live it for them. Just wait for the people who do want to hear about it. This way you'll use your time judiciously and wisely. You won't be burning yourself out talking to people who don't want to hear what you have to say. This is the easy way. When people want what you have, they say, "I want what you have. Show me how. I'll do anything you say." That's what. Yeah, so just rest. Rest is best.